In some circles, Kansas State Senator Laura Kelly is regarded as a frontrunner for the Democratic nomination for governor. One reason, she has the backing of former Governor Kathleen Sebelius, who's a friend. But she still faces stiff competition for the nomination from two other Democrats. They are Josh Swatty and Carl Brewer. With the primary election just 43 days off, it's safe to say the race is beginning to heat up. Senator Laura Kelly joins me here in the studio, and so nice to have you. Welcome.
So great to be here, Steve.
You didn't hop into this race right out of the gate, Senator. In fact, the word was you had to be talked into this. Was being governor something you had aspired to for a long time?
It was not on my bucket list, Steve, no. I've been asked to run for governor for years, actually. And it wasn't until December that I decided that I needed to get into the race.
What changed your mind?
Well, I honestly looked at what was on our slate, and I felt that I was really the only person, because of my experience and the relationships that I have and the understanding of our state and the problems that we're facing, that I was the only person who could run a campaign robust enough to defeat Kris Kobach.
Was Governor Sebelius an influencer in what you were trying to sort out there?
Governor Sebelius has been a great supporter of mine for years. And certainly has been a great assist to this campaign.
Weren't you guys at one point in your lives early morning walking partners or something around Topeka?
Yeah, Kathleen's a very early morning person, so I went ahead and walked with her around the neighborhood. She used to live right next door to me.
Let's turn to the state of Kansas and what kind of condition it's in today. A lot of people think Kansas faces a huge mess. What's your view?
Well, I've lived through the mess being created over the last 8 years. There's no doubt that the tax cuts of 2012 and 2013 absolutely devastated our state. It's dismantled our schools, damaged our roads, our entire – actually, I think the very fabric of our community. So, yeah, we're in a world of hurt.
Do you think Kansans get it? Do they understand the challenges facing the state going forward?
You know, I don't think they understood that so much in 2014. I think that's why they reelected Governor Sam Brownback. But I think by 2016, we could see that they got it. You just look at the elections for the House and the Senate in 2016. 13 new Democrats in the House, a rash of new moderates in the House and in the Senate. A new Democrat in the Senate. So, yeah, they got it. These folks all ran on fixing the broken Brownback experiment and funding our schools.
Well, why do you think Governor Brownback signed those tax cuts, Senator? I mean, he was warned, he was cautioned not to do it. A lot of people knew they were too big for the state to swallow a hole like that. What's your sense?
You know, Steve, I lived through that moment, and it was just absolutely surreal. I never thought he would do it because it was very, very clear what it was going to do to the state, and the damage was going to be deep and fast. I have no idea what he was thinking. I can't believe that he doesn't like the state of Kansas that much that he would have signed it. He might have actually really believed in trickle-down economics that we know don't work. That's all I can think of. You know, and as the years went by and it was clear what was happening to our state, he stuck to his guns through it all.
State Senator Laura Kelly is my guest. She's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for Kansas governor. You know, as we're talking here, there are obviously a lot of needs out there. The state highway fund has been robbed of hundreds of millions of dollars. Welfare programs are hurting. The state prison system is hurting. Is there enough money coming in to get Kansas through another 4 years without a tax increase?
Well, you know, Steve, we were able to overturn the Brownback tax experiment last year and put ourselves back on the road to recovery. We really need to let the dust settle on it. We're not sure of the actual impact of what we did on a state level and then the impact of what's been done on a federal level. So I think we need to give it some time and take a look at it mid-year next year and see where we are. I do know the one thing that we need to do, though, in terms of taxes, is to work towards a balanced tax structure like we used to have under the leadership of Governor Bill Graves.
Property, sales, and income, right?
You know, the old three-legged stool.
Right.
A third property, a third income, a third sales.
You know, one of the big issues out there, maybe the biggest, I know you're asked this all the time, is the funding of schools. I just said in the newscast that the state Supreme Court is about to announce its big decision in the Gannon case at 3 o'clock today. The legislature added $525 million over 5 years to fund the schools. What's your sense as we sit here today, just hours before this ruling comes out? Is that going to be enough to satisfy the court?
Well, Steve, you can't forget that last year we also put about $300 million into schools. So you add that to the $535 that we put in this year. And then there's some other funding that we increased that will directly impact our K-12 system. You know, funding for social workers and psychologists to actually be placed in the schools. And then we did restore funding for early childhood education. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the Supreme Court will see this as a good faith effort. I don't think they'll give up jurisdiction on this case like they did with Montoy in 2005. I think they'll hold our feet to the fire this time. And that's the right thing to do.
You know, given the late timing of this ruling, the fiscal year ends later this week, if I understand correctly. The legislature couldn't come back into special session this week. It's too late to deal with a decision from the court today to boost funding even further. So given those parameters, what would be a likely path forward here?
Well, like I said, I'm hoping that the court will rule that we've done is okay. If they don't, you know, we will need to come back and we will need to infuse more funding into the system. I think right now, given the balances that we've been showing every month above our estimates, that we can find those resources if we absolutely have to.
So it's possible the court could say, hey, you've got to spend more money and you've got to get it done by July 31st legislature would have to come back during the month of July. Is that a potential?
You know, I think there are a variety of scenarios that could happen because in reality, they could let us go until next session and do it then, since we'd only be halfway through the fiscal year, and then we could infuse funding for the second half of the school year.
You know, tell us a little bit more about yourself, Senator. You grew up in a career military family household. I gather that means you moved a lot.
Oh, we did move a lot, Steve.
You know about that, eh?
By the time I was 6, I'd actually lived on 3 continents.
Wow.
And by the time I was 15, I think I'd moved 12 or more times and gone to I don't know how many schools. So
that's tough on a kid.
You know, actually, I sort of enjoyed it. I enjoyed the variety and the cultural differences and all those kinds of things. But when it came time, and my husband and I had our first child, we really did want to establish some deep roots, and that's why we chose to come to Kansas. Great schools and this deep sense of community one feels here.
I was going to say how long you've been here.
32 years.
32 years. Mm-hmm. Before you went to the state Senate, you were the longtime head of the Kansas Recreation and Park Association. What did you do there?
You know, that was a great job. I got to travel all over the state of Kansas working with our communities to really make them better places for our kids and families through their parks and recreation departments.
Prior to that, you worked in the mental health field. What did you do there?
I did. Actually, my training was in recreation therapy. And so my first job was in a state psychiatric facility for children with severe mental health issues. And then I moved on to National Jewish Hospital in Denver, where I worked with kids who had respiratory disease as their primary problem, but secondary mental health issues. So I spent a good 12, 15 years working in that world.
What do you make of the state of the Kansas mental health system?
It's a wreck. You know, that's another thing that has been dismantled over the last 8 years. It's my plan when I become governor to really convene the stakeholders in that world and put together a really comprehensive plan that looks at our mental health system from prevention, you know, through institutionalization and discharge, and find out where the gaps are and then work towards filling those gaps.
You get a sense that the mental health problem in Kansas and everywhere is far more severe than most of us realize.
I think all we need to do is look at the spike in the suicide rate recently to understand that we have some very serious mental health issues here in Kansas and across the nation.
You know, you went to the state Senate in 2004. Why did you want to go into politics? Where did you go wrong, Senator? You seem like a nice person. What happened?
You know, I actually I didn't aspire to be a politician. But at that time in 2004, I was watching my current state senator, the incumbent, voting against school funding. And that was enough to flip the switch. I said, I can't tolerate that. I really need to get into that race and defeat him and start representing Kansans the way I thought they needed to be represented.
I was going to say, you walked into a state Senate that had been led by Republicans forever. You were in the minority. Why agree to take on and absorb that kind of punishment? Because it's hard being in the minority. You don't have as much power, obviously, as you would if you were in the majority.
Well, it's a different sort of power, you know, and I think I recognized, I mean, I was a math major when I went into college, so I can count. And I knew at any given time I've been in the Senate, the most Democrats we've had have been 10. It takes 21 to pass a bill. So I immediately went across the aisle and worked to develop close relationships with the moderate Republicans. And it worked. You know, we worked very closely together on a lot of good public policy.
What are you proudest of from your work in the state Senate?
Oh, probably the relationships that I've formed. But I think in terms of a very specific thing, it's been what I've been able to do to enhance our early childhood education offerings.
You talk about holding the Department of Children and Families accountable for its lack of transparency in recent years, which has affected the safety of kids in the state foster care system. What did you do exactly there?
Well, you know, when I learned, as many others did, about the missing kids, the kids sleeping in offices, the kids dying in our system, I really did sound a loud alarm and demanded that agency provide us accountability and transparency. I think as a result, you know, the former Secretary of Department of Children and Families resigned, and we've created that task force now that's total role is to determine where the problems are and what we can do to solve them. And that will be high on my radar screen when I become governor.
There's a new leader of the Department of Children and Families, Gina Meyer-Hummel. She's been here. Has the department turned the page or is the jury still out?
I think the department is making some progress on some issues. I think that Secretary Meyer-Hummel has the best interests of the kids at heart. I'm disappointed that she supported the adoption discrimination bill. I don't think that was a good idea. And I don't think it's a good idea to be hiring people who are not licensed and trained in the field of social work to fill some of the roles that she's doing. So we will look at it differently when I get in.
Laura Kelly is my guest. She's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for Kansas governor. Let's turn to guns, Senator, because that's been an issue that has caused some Democrats some consternation when it comes to your stance over the years. You've been a longtime backer of the rights of gun owners, so much so that you had the support of the NRA, at least for a while. Why the support for gun owners?
Well, I believe that Kansans have a right to own guns. Law-abiding Kansans have a right to own guns and to hunt. So I support the Second Amendment rights. I think, though, I also recognize that we need some common sense gun safety policies put in place. And so I've voted to ban guns now twice on our college campuses.
In fact, that cost you the backing of the NRA when you did that.
And that was perfectly fine. They gave me money once in my 2008 race, about $500, and I just donated that to Moms Demand Action because we really do need to put some common sense back into our gun policies. And as governor, I will bring together law enforcement, mental health, public health, educators, and we will together will craft a comprehensive gun sense policy for the state of Kansas.
What would you give us a sense of where you'd like to go? Because what you're saying is that's your focus, not expanding the rights of gun owners, if I'm hearing you correctly today.
I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue really is putting in some safeguards.
Like what?
Oh, I think 3-day waiting periods. I think universal background checks. I think banning bump stocks, assault rifles, no guns on college campuses. I do not believe that we should be arming our teachers. I want them to teach.
You know, one of the big concerns is that there's so many handguns out there that some experts say you can legislate this thing right and left, and at the end of the day, it's not going to make that much difference because there's so many guns out there.
Well,
what do you do about that?
Yeah. Well, I do think that there are laws that we can pass that will keep guns out of the hands of people who should not have them. You know, we just passed a bill that will keep them out of the hands of folks who have been convicted of domestic abuse charges. I think we need to pass the red flag law, which would allow law enforcement to temporarily take away guns from those known to be a danger to self and others. There are things that we can do.
Again, Laura Kelly is my guest. What do you want to do about restoring funding to the highway program, which I've mentioned here this morning, has seen hundreds of millions of dollars siphoned away for road maintenance to fund, cover the cost of Governor Brownback's tax cuts? What should happen there?
Well, actually, Steve, the number is closer to $2 billion that we have swept from the highway fund over the years. We did put together a transportation task force this past session, and they are meeting, and they're folks from the world of transportation, road, aviation, others. And what we've tasked them to do is to figure out what the needs are, to really essentially put together another comprehensive transportation plan, and then to find some dedicated funding sources that we can use on an ongoing basis to fund some of those projects that have been put off.
$2 billion is a lot of money.
It's a whole lot of money, and we've seen the effects of it. You know, we don't have our four-lane highway that we have been promising Southeast Kansas for years. We are now touching our roads every 50 years versus 9 years before, so our maintenance is behind. We've bonded to do maintenance. It's crazy.
And when you say we bonded, you mean we've borrowed money that mm-hmm. we're paying interest on to do basic road maintenance.
To do basic road maintenance. And, there are certain things that make Kansas an attractive place to live and keep our economy robust. And clearly, it's our good schools, and we need to be funding our schools. But our roads and our infrastructure, whether we're talking, transportation or we're talking digital infrastructure, we need to invest in those kinds of things if we are ever going to see Kansas grow again.
You know, just a few weeks ago, Chris Kobach, the Republican candidate for governor, was here in the Johnson County area, riding in the back of a Jeep with a replica machine gun in the back of the Jeep as he went through a parade in Shawnee. What did you make of that?
Well, it's not something I would have ever considered doing. I think that Chris Kobach understands who his base is, and I think he's appealing to them. He certainly wasn't appealing to mom and dad and the kids on the curb. So I think that's what he's doing. I think he's playing over the crowd to his base and has some reason to think that that will be an effective strategy in a Republican primary.
Just going back to highways for a second, Senator, do you see a need to increase the gasoline tax at some point to make up for all the money that has been siphoned away from the highway fund, or where are you?
Well, we would have to raise the gasoline tax so high that it's unpalatable. We could not do that make up for what's been taken away. I think I'd like to let the Transportation Task Force, gather data, really figure out what would be a reasonable and effective way to fund our highways on an ongoing basis.
Okay, that's State Senator Laura Kelly. She's a Democratic candidate for the nomination for Kansas governor. Thanks very much for coming in. Appreciate it, Senator.
My pleasure, Steve.